You love to come, right? Yeah. So go back a little bit. December 20th, 1944. One evening, as I entered my cell, I saw the Lord Jesus exposed in the mountains under open sky, as it seemed. At the feet of Jesus, I saw my confessor, and behind him, a great number of the highest ranking ecclesiastics, clothed in vestments the like of which I had never seen except in this vision. And behind them, groups of religious from various orders. And further still, I saw enormous crowds of people, which extended far beyond my vision. I saw the two rays coming out from the host. As in the image, closely united but not intermingled, and it passed through the hands of my confessor, and then through the hands of the clergy, and from the hands to the people, and then they returned to the host. Circle. At that moment, I saw myself once again in the cell which I had just entered. Finished the mission. December 22nd, 1934. When it was possible for me to go to confession during this week, I happened to get there when my confessor was saying Holy Mass. During the third part of the Mass, I saw the infant Jesus, a little smaller than usual, and with this difference that he was wearing a violet tunic, usually as a white one. December 24, 1934, the vigil of Christmas. During the morning Mass, I felt the closeness of God, though I was hardly aware of it. My spirit was drowned in God. Suddenly, I heard these words, "You are my delightful dwelling place. My spirit rests in you." So we can become the Sepulchrium, the monstrance that Jesus can come to stay with us. Many times we say we are the living tabernacle, you know, that Jesus is always there, that he can rest in us. Are you welcome? Welcome him to your place? Or no? You welcome him to stay in you? After these words, I felt the Lord looking into the depths of my heart. In seeing my misery, I humbled myself in spirit and admired the immense mercy of God, that the Most High Lord would approach such misery. We are not worthy at all, and Jesus just come. In the same way as one of the visionaries in Medjugorje, Maria, she said, whenever a heavenly mother appeared to her, as if the mother is begging that you come. He needs us more than as if we need her. She gives thanks to the visionaries, thanking them they can come to her to visit her, rather than we should give her welcome. But she welcomes us as if it's begging us to come closer to her. You see, love is like this. Always welcoming, always the first one. Never criticize. During Holy Communion, joy filled my soul. I felt that I am closely united to the Godhead. His omnipotence enveloped my whole being. So the whole day, I felt the closeness of God in a special manner. And although my duties prevented me throughout the whole day from going to chapel even for a moment, there was not a moment when I was not united with God. She would like to come to the chapel to visit, but no chance. Even though this, she always keep close to the Lord. I felt Him within me more distinctly than ever, unceasingly greeting the Mother God and entering into her spirit. I beg her to teach me true love of God as a Heavenly Mother. And I heard these words: I will share with you the secret of my happiness this night during Holy Mass. A Heavenly Mother. With supper before 6 o'clock, despite all the joy and the external noise accompanying the sharing of the wafer and mutual exchange of good wishes, I did not for a moment lose the awareness of God's presence. After supper, we hurried away to finish our work, and at night I was able to go to the chapel for adoration. I was allowed to stay up and wait for the midnight mass. I was delighted to have free time from 9 until midnight. From 9 to 10 o'clock, I offered my adoration for my parents and my whole family. From 10 to 11, I offered it for the intention of my spiritual director. In the first place, thanking God for granting me this great visible helped here on earth, just as He had promised me, and I also asked God to grant him the necessary lights so that he could get to know my soul and guide me according to God's pleasure. And from 11 to 12, I prayed for the Holy Church and clergy, for sinners, for the missions, and for our houses. I offered the indulgences for the souls in purgatory. 12 o'clock, December 25th, 1934. Midnight Mass. As Holy Mass began, I immediately felt a great interior recollection. Joy filled my soul. During the offertory, I saw Jesus on the altar, incomparably beautiful. The whole time, the infant kept looking at everyone, stretching out his little hands. During elevation, the child was not looking towards the chapel, but up to heaven. After the elevation, he looked at us again, but just for a short while, because he was broken up and eaten by the priest in the usual manner. His spinal cord was now white. The next day, I saw the same thing, and the third day as well. It is difficult for me to express the joy of my soul. The vision was repeated at 3 masses in the same way as in the first one. Sorry. 1934, the first Thursday after Christmas. I completely forget it was 12th Thursday, and so did not make my adoration. At 9 o'clock, I went directly to the dormitory with the other sisters. But strangely enough, I could not fall asleep. It seemed to me that I had not yet done something that I was supposed to do. Mentally, I reviewed all my duties and could not recollect anything. This lasted until 10 o'clock. At 10, I saw the sorrowful face of Jesus. Then Jesus spoke these words to me: I have been waiting to share my suffering with you, for you can understand my suffering better than my spouse. But my spouse? I ask pardon of Jesus for my coldness, ashamed, and not daring to look at the Lord Jesus. But with a contrite heart, I ask him to give me one thorn from his crown. He answered that he would grant me this favor, but until tomorrow. And immediately the vision disappeared. In the morning, during meditation, I felt a painful thorn in the left side of my head. The suffering continued all day. I meditated continually about how Jesus had been able to endure the pain of so many thorns which make up his crown. I joined my suffering to the sufferings of Jesus and offered it for sinners. At 4 o'clock, when I came for adoration, I saw one of my outwards offending God greatly by sins of impure thoughts. I also saw a certain person who was the cause of their sin. My soul was pierced with fear, and I asked God, for the sake of Jesus' pain, to snatch her from this terrible misery. Jesus answered that he would grant her that favor, not for her sake, but for the sake of my request. Now, I understand how much we ought to pray for sinners, and especially for our wards. So praying for one another is very important. Yesterday I read a small article by a woman from Colombia. Her name is Gloria Polo. She was got struck by the lightning, half dead. And there's someone, an old man, not quite far away from the country, when he knew about this thing, he knelt down and prayed for this person. He doesn't know, but he knows that this young girl was struck by the lightning. He prayed. Afterwards, Jesus turned this person. Not because of your people who knows you, pray for you, of course. But there are some people you doesn't know, anonymous, they pray for you. You got the grace. She was supposed to condemned to hell. But on the verge of going down, he come back to life. And that's how very important we pray for one another. We don't know what. Especially when you're so much pain, there must be some reason to the back. You tell Jesus. Perhaps for your family members, or perhaps someone you don't know, or someone who needs this prayer. That's what Jesus says. The grace is given to the sister, not because she has a contrite heart, but because of you. You're praying for her. So, conversion coming in. See, very important. Jesus answered that he would grant her that favor, not for her sake, but for the sake of my request. Now, I understood how much we ought to pray for sinners, especially for our wards. Our life is truly apostolic. I cannot imagine a religious living in one of our houses, that is in our community, and not having an apostolic spirit. Zeal for the salvation of souls should burn in our hearts. Today we are not going out. You stay in the family. You don't work so much in apostolic work. Also we are not like the Father Sergio from Mexico to China. You don't go. But Jesus needs our prayer. Oh my God, how sweet it is to suffer for you. Suffer in the most secret recesses of the heart, in the greatest hiddenness, to burn like a sacrifice, no taste to no one, pure as crystal, with no consolation or compassion. My spirit burns in active love. I waste no time in dreaming. I take every moment singly as it comes, for this is within my power. The past does not belong to me. The future is not mine. With all my soul, I try to make use of the present moment. So many times repeated, live well every present moment. The past does not belong to us. The future is not mine. With all my soul, I try to make use of the present moment. So important. Simple. But you have to live it wholeheartedly. Not half-hearted. Not being distracted by so many other things, and then you forgot about the Lord. January 4th, 1935. The first chapter of Mother Borgia. At a chapter, Mother Borgia stressed a life of faith and fidelity in small things. Halfway through the chapter, I heard these words. I decided you would all have more faith at the present time. How great is my joy at the faithfulness of my spouse in the smallest things. Then I looked at the crucifix and saw that Jesus' head was turned towards the refectory and his lips were moving. When I told Mother Superior about it, he answered, "You see, sister, how Jesus demanded our life be a life of faith." Confirmed. When Mother left for the chapel and I stayed to set the room in order, I heard these words, "Tell all the sisters that I demand that they live in a spirit of faith towards the superiors at this present time." I begged my confessor to release me from this duty. As I was talking in a certain person who was to paint the image, but was not painting it, I heard this voice in my soul. "I want her to be more obedient." I understood that our efforts, no matter how great, are not pleasing to God if they do not bear the zeal of obedience. I am seeking about a religious soul. "O God, how easy it is to know your will in the convent. We religious have God's will set clearly before our eyes, from morning until night. In moments of uncertainty, we have our superiors through whom God speaks." New Year's Eve for 1935. I was given permission not to go to sleep, but rather pray in the chapel. One of the sisters had asked me to offer an hour of adoration for her. I said yes and prayed for her for an hour. During the hour, God gave me to understand how very pleasing this soul was to Him. I offered the second hour of adoration for the conversion of sinners, and I tried especially to offer expiation to God for the insults that were being committed against Him at this present moment. How great God is being offended. I offered the third hour for my spiritual director. I fervently prayed for light for him in a particular matter. Finally, the clock struck 12. The last hour of the year. I finished it in the name of the Holy Trinity. And I also started the first hour of the new year in the name of the Holy Trinity. I asked each of the three persons to bless me, and with great confidence looked towards the new year, which certainly would not be sparing of suffering. O blessed host, in whom is contained the testament of God's mercy for us, and especially for poor sinners, the host. O blessed host, in whom is contained the body and blood of the Lord Jesus, as proof of infinite mercy for us, and especially for sinners. O blessed host, in whom is contained life eternal and of infinite mercy, dispensed in abundance to us, and especially for poor sinners. O blessed host, in whom is contained the mercy of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit towards us, and especially toward poor sinners. Blessed host, in whom is contained the infinite price of mercy, which will compensate for all our debts, and especially those of poor sinners. O blessed host, in whom is contained the infinite price of mercy, which compensate for all our debts, and especially those of poor sinners. O blessed host, in whom is contained the fountain of living water, which springs from the infinite mercy of us, and especially for poor sinners. O blessed host, in whom is contained the fire of purest love, which blazes forth from the bosom of the eternal Father, as from an abyss of infinite mercy for us, and especially for poor sinners. It's a kind of litany towards the blessed sacrament. O blessed host, in whom is contained the medicine for all our infirmities, flowing from infinite mercy as from a font for us, especially for poor sinners. O blessed host, in whom is contained the union between God and us through his infinite mercy for us, and especially for poor sinners. O blessed host, in whom are contained all the sentiments of the most sweet heart of Jesus towards us, and especially for sinners. O blessed host, our only hope in all the sufferings and adversities of life. So whenever we have things that you cannot solve, what and come the blessed sacrament. O blessed host, our only hope in the midst of darkness and of storms within and without. O blessed host, our holy hope in life and the hour of our death. O blessed host, our only hope in the midst of adversities and floods of despair. O blessed host, our only hope in the midst of falsehood and treason. O blessed host, our only hope in the midst of darkness and godlessness, which inundates the earth. O blessed host, our only hope in the longing and pain in which no one will understand us. So whenever you can't solve anything, you don't want to do, come to the Blessed Sacrament. Come. He is the one. Blessed host, our only hope in the toil and monotony of everyday life. And if your life is monotonous, don't want to, at least your mind, heart, come before the Blessed Sacrament. I'm telling him. O blessed host, our only hope amid the ruin of our hopes and endeavors. O blessed host, our only hope in the midst of the ravages of the enemy and the efforts of hell. O blessed host, I trust in you when the burdens are beyond my strength and I find my efforts are fruitless. O blessed host, I trust in you when storms toss my heart about, my fearful spirit tends to despair. O blessed host, I trust in you when my heart is about to tremble and mortal sweat moistens my brow. O blessed host, I trust in you when everything conspires against me and black despair creeps into my soul. O blessed host, I trust in you when my eyes will begin to grow dim to all temptations, to all temporal things, and for the first time my spirit will behold the unknown worlds. O blessed host, I trust in you when my tasks will be beyond my strength, and adversity will become my daily lot. So whenever you feel impossible, think of the Lord. O blessed host, I trust in you when the practice of virtue will appear difficult for me, and my nature will grow rebellious. O blessed host, I trust in you when hostile blows will be aimed against me. O blessed host, I trust in you when my toils and efforts will be misjudged by others. O blessed host, I trust in you when your judgments will resound over me. Instead, I will trust in the sea of your mercy. Sorry, just for today. So we can see today, the theme is of the Blessed Sacrament. Keep him in your heart. If you live nearby, when you pass through this church, come, stay a moment. Visit the Blessed Sacrament. Or in other places, other church, if you just very close by, just go in there and say hello to Jesus. Jesus expecting us. He's the light, he's the source of life. We forgot everything. We thought we are capable to solve all the things. So you see the whole litany of the Blessed Host, we are so incapable. We need to have him. We thank the Lord that give us the Blessed Sacrament, the first time, the Eucharist. You know, it's a mystery, you know. The priest, you know, consecrate. I can't imagine, you know, for eternity. You know, you look so fragile. Only the bread, piece of bread. And this, just with this poor priest, poor bread, and he abiding in the Blessed Sacrament. Can you imagine? We just thank him for giving us this chance to share the life of Faustina so that we can go back to the source, not just dreaming to be another Faustina. We have to dream to be another Jesus Christ. Faustina is helping us to be him. We should leave everything to him. So we follow Faustina towards the Blessed Sacrament. Everything, nothing left, all things for the Lord. Totus, tuus.